It's local and it matters. It's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday, and it happens to be Thursday today. Thank goodness for that. Weekend is just a day away. You know, it's, again, appreciate you tuning in if I sound a little exasperated. So my news day started last night at around 7 o'clock when I started getting text messages about some memo that Vince Long sent out, and people are saying, who is Vince Long and who elected Vince Long? He's going to become a little more popular here. Maybe he'll choose to run for office. I doubt it. But it's going to be a COVID show the first half or maybe two-thirds here. We've got, we had the meeting on Tuesday at the Leon County School Board, which I was able to watch a little bit of it. We had a reporter covering it. And so we'll get to that. But, you know, the whole COVID issue is back front and center because of the resurgent in cases and hospitalizations that we're getting more information on here locally. And so when that happens, we go back through the same process we went through previously. And the school board Tuesday, which, you know, this had been building over a couple of months, talking about a mask optional policy, which is still in place. But now there's the nuts and bolts and the nuances of the quarantine policy, which is starting to concern parents. And so we will go over that. And, you know, it all hinders around the vaccination, the quarantine policy with regards to employees and students. And so, you know, it's government having to get into the nitty gritty of what to do when, you know, someone tests positive and doesn't have the vaccination versus having the vaccination and testing positive. So there was a very, spirited discussion about that. So we'll go over exactly what the policy is now. But I will tell you, this is, and in the words of a number of the school officials, this is a very fluid situation in terms of what's going to happen moving forward. And, you know, one of the things watching that school board meeting, you know, it's almost like you can almost graph this. People get up and speak. There are people that on both sides that really say some things that are factually incorrect. But I'm starting to see more and more people citing factual evidence that supports their case. Now, obviously, this is not a slam dunk on either side. There's a lot of information out there. But, you know, I think it's going to be paramount. We'll talk about this some today about getting correct information. And I think we've got problems with that right now in terms of exactly how we're making these decisions. And so the school board sort of opened my eye to why aren't we giving out more numbers or trying to make arguments based on what's happening on the ground. And I'll talk to you about some of the information I think is missing and that we're going to need to get. And maybe the school board will be the organization or the government entity that's able to get that information. And then last night, the Vince Long memo hit the street, and that was don't quite understand the origins of it behind the scenes. The memo struck a tone of frustration from the administrator of about 2,000 employees, but I'm sure you've heard about it. It's basically, you know, if someone who works for the Leon County government, and this does not include the constitutional officers, people in the sheriff's department, the clerk's office, but Leon County government, which is about 2,000 employees, if you're not vaccinated by October 1st, you'll be fired. And there are some accommodations. We'll go through the memo and the lists and the accommodations or the exceptions. But you know, this was not just in Leon County at the same time, which makes you think there's a little bit of coordination. There's some other local municipalities and county governments across the state that are instituting the same policy. Orange County, which is home to Orlando, basically put out the same memo with a little bit more aggressive time frame. And so, this is really, again, interesting. The memo we'll go over doesn't cite numbers. It just cites the general resurgence of a respiratory disease, which is COVID. And so, you know, there's not like a sudden outbreak in Leon County government. There's not numbers that show there are people at risk there. This is just a general, this is a policy based in the general assumption or conclusion that things are getting worse and everyone has to be vaccinated. So, like I said, we'll go over the specifics of the memo. We will try in the last segment, try to get away from a little bit of the COVID stuff. We'll talk about some things that are happening here locally that might affect you. The Children's Services Council will be having a meeting. We'll go over the agenda of that, give you a brief update there. The CDC moratorium on evictions is due to expire. So we'll go over some numbers there, give you an idea of what is the potential impact here. You know, it's with all the money flowing in the system, you would think there would be help for those that need it, at least in the near term. We'll give you some specifics on that. Nikki Fried is out with a video of her trying to look gubernatorial, and we will cover this in the last segment, but she has hit on an issue, and I hate to say that I agree with her on it, but I will tell you that this goes back to my whole discussion on this, the availability of data. And in the next segment, before we get into the Leon County School Board, I'll give you the what my view on that. But she's put out a video and arguing that, you know, the Governor DeSantis is not providing up-to-date information on the COVID numbers. As you are well aware, they quit doing the daily reports during the end of the last wave. And so now they do weekly reports, which are a little bit harder to read and to ascertain what's going on in counties. Like here in Leon County, we're getting hospitalization numbers from the actual hospitals instead of from this report that was published every day. You could just see what was going on. And so as the second wave started to recede, these numbers were cut off. And so people, I guess the thought was, look, this has gone away forever. But if you read up on respiratory diseases, they basically travel in cycles and in seasons. And so now, as we are wrestling with trying to make these decisions, we don't have as good access with data. And so, you know, Nikki Fried is hitting the governor on this. And, you know, I think that she has a point in the sense that I wish we had more information, or we had the information that we had before the recession of the disease on the second wave, because that gives you people that are interested in facts. It gives you those numbers to talk about and to make an argument. And so when we get back, I will tell you what numbers I'm interested in seeing in making these decisions. And the question will be, when are we going to get these? Is there somebody that's going to start asking for these numbers to support these decisions? Or is it just going to be from here on out about the general nature of, look, there's a resurgence of COVID, we got to mandate vaccines? So stay tuned. We'll dig into that when we get back. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Epps Decorating Center. If you're a homeowner, you should always be looking for ways to increase the value of your home, but it doesn't always have to be a major project. A fresh coat of paint can transform the interior and exterior of your home in a dramatic way, and I recommend you start with a visit to Epps Decorating Center, Tallahassee's premier Benjamin Moore paint retailer. Whether you need interior, exterior paint, high-end, or commercial-grade coatings, Epps Decorating Center is ready to serve you. Give them a call at 385-6649. That's 385-6649. All right, real quick before we get into the Leon County School Board meeting and what it means to you, the data. We were talking about, listen, you know, anywhere you go, you can get the number of cases. That is something that is very easy to follow. We're getting almost daily numbers on that now. When we talked about this after the vaccination coming out and the receding of the virus in the second wave, you know, the thing to keep an eye on was hospitalizations and deaths. We expected that, you know, there may be an increase in cases because via the vaccination, people that were healthy that might not choose to get the vaccination would maybe get the virus. And since they were healthy, there wouldn't be any problems. So the key then would be looking at hospitalizations. And so if we look at the deaths in Florida, look, you know, any deaths are too many, but it is relatively low right now compared to what we saw during the level of cases that we have now. So from that standpoint, you know, you could clearly look at the group that was most vulnerable, which was over 65. 80% of those are vaccinated. And so the deaths don't seem to be following the cases at this moment. Now, the problem that we're faced with is hospitalizations, because that obviously going to the hospital and recovering is better than the other outcome. But what we have now is if the virus keeps surging, as you have problems in the hospital infrastructure, in the sense of other things are set back, and you know there's more issues here. So you'd rather not have any hospitalizations. So we are getting reports about hospitalization numbers, like here in Leon County, from the two hospitals. We published a joint statement from CRMC and TMH about the increase in hospitalizations. Now, the immediate response has been from leaders, is like what we're getting from Leon County, is that, you know, everybody needs to get vaccinated. Well, obviously, some people that are not getting vaccinated are ending up in the hospital. We would like, you know, I think it'd be important to know who is in the hospital. Are these healthy people that, you know, this is a change in the virus, which, you know, we hear from the Delta variant, or is this the same profile of previously, which are people with underlying condition, which is people with high blood pressure, obesity, and other diseases? And so we're not getting that information. Until we get that, I think that what's going to happen now is we're going to see these decisions made on this general idea that we're seeing a resurgence in the COVID pandemic. So those are the numbers I hope we see. And the reason I brought that up before the Leon County School Board meeting discussion is because there's some hope that Dr. Alan Cox, who's in charge of developing policies with the school board, has said that he's going to try to get these numbers. And so we'll keep an eye on that, because I think the policies that the school board are having to deal with are what was discussed with at the meeting are very fluid, in the sense that, look, this can change. So let's go there now. At the meeting on Tuesday, the mask optional policy remained in place despite some blowback from one or two of the elected officials and some public speakers. So they wanted to keep in place the mask optional policy. However, something that's new on the horizon is this: the policies that school gets ready to start, you've got to have procedures in place to deal with people that do show up with a positive COVID test. And this is where the next controversy is coming, is how to deal with those that are vaccinated or not vaccinated. And the quarantine policy, as they ended that meeting, is as follows. If a vaccinated student is exposed to COVID, they do not have to get tested and do not have to quarantine. If they choose to get tested and test positive, they must quarantine for a full 10 days. So if you're vaccinated and you get COVID, the idea is not to get tested. If you're a student who is not vaccinated but is exposed to COVID, you must quarantine for 10 days. So the problem is here is that there is some discrimination between people that are vaccinated, kids that are vaccinated, and students that are not vaccinated. And so the parents are arguing that, look, 10 days out of school is too much. There's not a digital academy available as last year. And so, you know, how are you going to, the only way you're going to be able to enforce this is to have proof of vaccination, which, you know, gets back into the whole idea of the vaccine passport. And the other issue is the learning challenges here. Again, if a student tests positive, you know, they could get a test that says here after 7 days, the students, if they test negative, they can return to school. So I guess the minimum time out would be 7 days. And then you could get back in if the test went right. So the big debate that Superintendent Hannah and the school board has to deal with now. The question about the vaccine passport came up from parents. Superintendent Hannah pledged to try to find out what the direction or the directives from state government's going to be. I think that, and also Dr. Alan Cox had talked about trying to get some more information. Now, the thing here with the school issue is that, you know, we're dealing with about 34,000 students, and there are some, I mean, I think it's been documented, and factually presented through both, you know, what you consider conservative and liberal publications, that for kids under 18, the flu is more deadly than COVID-19. So the question would be then, unless there's some new finding with this new variant that is the numbers would show that it's attacking children at a different rate or having a different outcome, if you're using the numbers that we've had over the last more than a year, the question becomes, why are we even treating this as an issue, given the fact that adults can get vaccinated, teachers are able to get vaccinated, and masks are optional? So you almost want to argue that, look, the school system should just continue as normal because of the things that are in place. Now, with the caveat that if we start seeing kids come down with COVID that are being hospitalized, then obviously that would warrant a change in policy. But to get out ahead of this with these policies that are very questionable in terms of, I guess, you talk about discrimination and rights for people not to get vaccinated, I think is a little bit, it's going to be challenging for the school board. And again, I'm a data person. The more information we have, the better. So what I would want to see every day, I would be following the hospitalizations and the characteristics of people that are being hospitalized. If I was Superintendent Hannah, I would want to know, all right, we've got 70 hospitalizations. How many of them are healthy people with no underlying conditions? How many of them are over 18 with underlying conditions? And how many of them are under 18? Those would be the numbers that I would base this on. And I would look at these numbers for the next 2 weeks and then present that to the school board. This is what we're seeing. We are not, you know, and hey, look, if this thing starts hitting kids and they're being put in the ICU at the hospital, and they are kids that are not vulnerable, then yes, sure, you need to change the policy and we have an issue. But right now we're going on emotion. Well, it appears when you watch these meetings, we're making decisions on emotion and not following the numbers. Now, as I said before, I do wish we had better access or more access to these numbers. I'm hoping that the Leon County School Board will provide those. And, you know, when we talk about in the next segment, when we talk about this letter from Vince Long, again, it looks like the decisions are being made. There's no, without looking at specific data. This isn't, you know, he hasn't made this decision because they've had a breakout in Leon County government with regards to the COVID pandemic. It's just, again, this general notion that because cases are going up and we are seeing more hospitalizations, that is why he sent out this letter to Leon County employees. My point would be, all right, the concerning thing is hospitalizations. Why don't we zero in on that and find out exactly what's happening? All right, so when we get back, we'll go through this letter. We'll talk to you about what other local governments and municipalities around the state are doing. And then, you know, we'll talk about specific accommodations here. Personally, I don't think one person is going to be fired for not getting vaccinated. And we'll also have a couple of comments from elected officials who was not involved in this decision. This was viewed as a management decision by someone who's in charge of Leon County government. And that would be the county manager, Vince Long. All right, so when we get back, we'll turn to that memo. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Hi, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. It's a good opportunity to mention program change beginning August 9th. Our show here on Above the Fold will move from 12 to 1 on Tuesday and Thursday, and we'll have the Jeff Cameron Show is moving over from 1 to 3. That's Monday through Friday. Now, those are what I would consider the most salient program changes, but there are some others, and you can get caught up with those at your leisure. But those are two major changes that will be happening. So that begins on August 9th. So looking forward to the more local talent, getting more local here on the radio station, which is what the Real Talk 93.3 is about. So, all right, pivoting to local government, Leon County Government Administrator Vince Long sent out a letter yesterday notifying people that if they didn't get vaccinated by October 1st, they would be terminated. I'm not going to read the letter to you, Talis Reports. We have the letter up. But what I do want to do is go through a couple of the components of the letter so that we can, I'm not going to read the whole letter to you, so that we can just sort of get an idea of where he's coming from. And then we'll have comments from both Rick Miner, who's the chairman, and Leon County Commission District 4 chairman, Leon County District 4 Commissioner Brian Welch. So the opening of the letter explains that as vaccinations stagnate and the Delta variant has created a resurgence of the COVID-19 virus, with the state of Florida as its epicenter, vaccinations against COVID will now become a condition of employment at Leon County government and existing employees under the supervision of county administrator and the county attorney, which means that other constitutional offices, people that work for under other constitutional officers, this does not cover them, would be the sheriff, county clerk, things of that nature. Talks about he has to ensure that that Leon County is a safe place to work. Does not provide any information that it's not safe now. Another reason to do this. And he says this is very simple and very serious. As an employer, we are required to provide a safe work environment for employees, and unvaccinated employees pose a significant risk to spread the virus. Wow. Those are pretty big comments. Strong comments in the sense that unvaccinated employees pose a significant risk to spread the virus. Significant risk, you know, is there a breakout at Leon County government? He would argue, is a proactive step. Now, to implement this, you've got to basically begin immediately providing vaccine certificates to the Director of Human Resources. He says it'll be considered confidential. If you're not going to, and if you're not vaccinated, you've got till October 1st to get it done. Now, this is the section I wanted to focus on for a minute, was the accommodations. It says reasonable accommodations will be available to employees who are unable to be vaccinated due to an ADA-covered disability, a doctor-certified diagnosed medical condition which prevents an employee from receiving a vaccination, or, quote, a sincerely held religious belief. It says here, requests for such accommodation will be evaluated on a case-by-case basis and granted, if applicable, consistent with the law and EEOC guidance. Now, there's a form you have to fill out. This accommodation request form will be available on Monday, August 2nd, and you can get that and you can fill it out. It says, in order to give employees whose requests for an accommodation have been denied time to get vaccinated, the accommodation request must be completed and submitted to Leon County by August 16th. So if you're going to try to escape the required vaccination, you've got to have the paperwork in by August 16th. The information in an accommodation request form that contains medical information will be kept confidential. It says here, now this is the other issue. Employees who are granted an accommodation to this condition of employment will be required to wear a mask at all times while at work. In addition, the county may opt to require that unvaccinated employees submit a negative COVID test on a weekly basis. Now, the issue here is that we know vaccinated people can get COVID also. And there's a guy that sits on the Leon County Commission that is living proof of that. I think it's understandable from the standpoint of you can see what he's trying to do here, but it looks like there is a lot of questions to be asked of Mr. Long. The question will be, will the elected officials do this? From what I understand, he did not consult with the elected officials. This is considered a management decision, and he's in charge of instituting the policies for the people that work there. I reached out to Leon County Commissioner Brian Welch, who provided a detailed statement. Talked to him a little bit on the phone, and you know, he's the newest commissioner on the dais, he's the newest politician. still learning the process, which I think is a good thing. And this is, you know, it's a tough issue from his perspective. And so I want to read you his statement that he provided to Taos Reports. It says, quote, "While I strongly encourage everyone eligible to be vaccinated as soon as possible, I don't think anyone should lose their job over a personal medical decision. I respect the county administrator's efforts to ensure the safety of our employees and continuity of our county operations. However, I would prefer a more measured approach that incentivizes county employees and emphasizes the importance of getting vaccinated." Now, he's one of seven on the commission, and I think that it'll be interesting to hear the others weigh in. But, you know, I think that this thing about firing people is going to be a bridge too far, as they say. Can you just imagine that discussion with someone who, are people who don't want to get vaccinated going to go ahead and try to get this accommodation? Are they going to have these religious objections? Are they going to get a doctor to say that they're healthy and they think the doctor can argue that this person is healthy and I would not recommend the vaccine because the immunity would be better if he actually got COVID? I mean, are doctors actually going to sign letters like that? So, again, this has opened up a whole new part of what's going to be required from employees, and then it's going to bring in their doctor-patient relationship to the to their job. It's going to bring in their religious beliefs to the job. So this is going to be wrought with a lot of landmines, and you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, the county commission is at break, I think, till after, I think, almost September. So we're not going to get a lot of information from the elected officials. However, Rick Miner, who is the Leon County Commission chairman at this time, in a statement says he supports the directive by Long. He says it's a difficult step to take, but it's the right one. We have an obligation to provide a safe workplace for Leon County employees as well as for the public we serve. So you've got one county commissioner that is that understands the process but doesn't think you should be fired. In other words, he's arguing, look, yes, let's promote the vaccine, let's provide some incentives, but losing your job over a medical decision, he's not support. Commissioner Rick Miner comes from the other side, is supporting the county administrator in his efforts to what he, you know, says is keeping a safe workplace, and also any contact that their employees would come with people they serve. Again, though, the question would be, this goes back to a little bit of what's going on with the school board. So you're separating these people out from vaccination, people who've been vaccinated, when now we are seeing that, first of all, people with vaccinations can catch the disease. And also, it's clear that they can also spread it when they have it, especially from what I just read about the Delta variant. Is someone with the vaccination, the reason it can be spread is because, quote, the viral load is so much heavier in the respiratory system that while the vaccination does help mitigate the possible outcomes, that it does not really have much of an impact initially on how fast it spread with someone that is vaccinated. So the question would be now, that's why the CDC is arguing that people that are vaccinated wear a mask. I did not notice that in Vince Long's statement about vaccinated people having to wear a mask because of the new CDC guidance. So again, decisions that are wrought with circumstances that you're going to have to deal with. Human resources are going to be, the human resources department in the Leon County is going to be, I think, busy dealing with a lot of stuff. Now, the question would be, obviously, other counties around the state have adopted similar policies. Orange County has done that. The question will be, is the city of Tallahassee going to do this? As of, I think, last night, there was no plan to. But look, they've got about 3,000 employees. They cover more employees than Leon County does. And so it will be interesting to see what their position is. Again, real quick before I get out of here, you know, you talk about Leon County with 300,000 people in it. There's 2,000 employees that are affected by this. 50% of them are vaccinated. So you're really only focusing on 1,000 people at Leon County. All right, when we get back, we'll pivot away from this, talk about some other goings on in the local community in regards to some local government issues. So please stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here in our last segment. Thanks for joining us here on Real Talk 93.3. As I said, it's Thursday, so weekend is just around the corner. And we're going to pivot away from the COVID news to some things here going on locally. We've talked about the local economy. We'll get you some information on how we compare here sale prices of residential homes statewide. I think you'll be shocked by some of the numbers on that. But local government, Children's Services Council, which we've talked about here on the show, are in the middle of doing, this was something that was a referendum that was passed by the voters. We're going to generate about $8 million to help out children issues. There's a needs assessment going on, and it's painful to watch. It's anytime you start getting something created from scratch, and we saw that with the Independent Ethics Board. You got to get, you've got all these people appointed, you got to get bylaws put together, and then you just got this growing pains. And a lot of times it's just really not easy to watch. So here with the CSC, we've got a number of people that are on the board. They've already settled for the tax rate that they're going to put in place, and they're going to raise money. The big question that they're faced with now is if they're going to wait for the needs assessment to spend money like they said they would do. There are some members that want to start spending it right away. Now they have what makes me think they won't do this is because they've taken the time to go ahead and put a committee up and look at a needs assessment. And, what we're trying to get there is something that's measurable, something that's, look, this is where we're going to spend the money. We've got 10 of those now. When we spend the money, we want to have 5 of those. And so you want to see the needle move for so many things. It's just a continuation of money going into the same problem and nothing, you're just like treading water and nothing happens. So this is something that we'll keep an eye on, and we want to, we want to watch it and say, because this is a lot of money. And if you believe that you can take this money and make a difference, well, then let's measure it. And let's be sure that we're intentional on looking at what the stimulus is. What are we doing to make this change? So then if it works, we can just spend more money on it. Now, before this debate, I would argue that there's money there that's not being spent on things that are working. It should have been moved around to the do a needs assessment and find out, where to spend it. I don't think people are going to have the patience for just spending this money on, quote, poverty, food. I think that the promise here with this would be with something that would be more strategic and is going to be more of a programmatic type of solution to the issues that people say exist here in Leon County. So that meeting will take place, and they put those out on YouTube so they're able to be watched. We'll try to cover that and find out exactly where they're headed. But the needs assessment is going to really tell a lot about where the mind is on this, on this new council. Because what they will do is they'll do the needs assessment, which is a subcommittee of the full board. And then they'll say, hey, these are the needs. Then they're going to start dividing up your money. And hopefully they will also have some way to measure where it's going or what the outcome of, giving this money out. July 31st, the CDC or not. Yeah, I guess it's the CDC is scheduled to end the eviction moratorium. The eviction moratorium was put in place, obviously, because of the pandemic, so that landlords could not evict people for not paying their rent. Now, what happened is we had some policies put in place with federal and state money for rental assistance, so that the landlords could get paid. Initially, they were giving the money to the tenants, and the landlords weren't seeing it. Now, they sort of changed that in the way the policy works. But, in a move to try to get back to normal, you obviously set these dates. So July 31st is the date where this protection would end. However, there's hope by those, that need it, that Biden will extend the moratorium. Congressional Democrats, concerned by the recent surge in positive cases and hospitalizations, have been quietly pressing the White House to do so. So President Biden is supposed to actually speak today related to COVID. We'll see if we can get some information there. But what that means here in Tallahassee or in Leon County, you know, the Tallahassee Democrats reporting that first part of the year, there's been 2,700 eviction notices were filed in Leon County. So the point on that is the notices were filed, and once the moratorium's up, I guess they can work their way through the legal system. So it looks like there is more than about 5,000 Leon County residents received funds allocated for housing assistance during the pandemic. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, again, when you start moving off of these moratoriums and off of this assistance, you get back to the, you know, the plan was the virus was receding, and so we're going to get back to normal operations. Now what happens, basically due to the change in the number of cases and the increase in hospitalizations, you know, people are starting to say, well, wait a minute, what does this mean? And so, again, I bring up the COVID numbers again. We need more information on exactly what's going on so that we can figure out if we just continue to move forward and say, look, this is a respiratory virus that's going to have these consequences for these groups of people, and these group of people need to get vaccinated. Anyway, I digress on that. So we'll see what happens with the eviction notice. That's coming up pretty quick, 2 days. Seems like they wait to the last minute to really decide on what the policy is. Now, real quick before we get out of here, on the local economy, you know, we follow obviously the a number of these measurements on different things, jobs, airport, consumer sales, and residential resales. And, you know, that's something that has been just going through the roof in terms of not only the number of transactions. I think it's 7 or 8 months in a row that we've had increases in the number of transactions, but also the appreciation of home values, which is really, you know, helps out local governments in a large, in a big way, because that's what property taxes are based on. And so they obviously get more money when values of homes go up. And, you know, the values of homes here in Leon County has increased, you know, tremendously. But what I wanted to talk to you about was if you compare the median home price to what's going on around the state of Florida. And so if we look at the median home price, is not the average. The median is the one. So in other words, if you have 100 homes that have sold, the median home price is the price that's number 50 in terms of if you put them in ascending order. All right. And so if we go back to May of this year, we can see that the median home price in Leon County was $260,000, and then in the state was $270,000. So it was a difference of $10,000. Again, Leon County was $260,000. The state was $270,000. Now, since May of 2020, which is a little bit over a year, that the gap between Leon County and the state has quadrupled. From $10,000 on the median sale price to $45,000. The state median home sales price is $350,000, and in Leon County, it's $305,000. Now, that's still a pretty healthy increase from $260,000 to $305,000, but the state of Florida has gone from $270,000 to $350,000. So, as prices increase here, we see that we are just a subset of this, and they're not increasing as fast as they are in all of Florida. Now, again, what are the things driving this? We've talked about this. People are moving to Florida, and it looks like Tallahassee is one of the places they're choosing to go to. We saw this in the job numbers as the workforce has continued to increase well above 2019 numbers, which is what we use to look at a comparison because of the you know, the outlier numbers of 2020. So anyway, understand that when you see these real estate numbers in Leon County, when you look around the state of Florida, Leon County still has some of the more affordable pricing on when based on single family resales. All right. Boy, that was a quick show. A lot of talk about, a lot of COVID. Hopefully that will continue to recede, but I don't think so. We'll have more information on that on Tuesday. But until then, try to just get away from it all and enjoy your weekend. I'm Steve Stewart. You've been listening to Above the Fold. Obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that have
gonna be a bride.